lost their farms in what was called the Dust Bowl and the bank repossessions. And he wrote about their lives. Here's one called Pastures of Plenty, and then followed by Pretty Boy Floyd about losing your farm to a bank.
Mighty hard road that my poor hand is hold. My poor feet has traveled a hot, dusty road. Out of your dust bowl and westward we rolled, and your desert was hot and your mountains was cold. In your orchards of peaches and prunes, slept on the ground in the light of your moon. On the edge of your city you've seen us, and then we come with the dust and we go with the wind. California and Arizona, I make all your crops, and it's north up to Oregon to gather your hops. Dig the beets from your ground, cut the grapes from your vine, to set on your table your light sparkling wine. Green pastures of plenty from dry desert ground, from that Grand Coulee Dam where the water runs down. Ever stayed in this union, us migrants have been. We'll work in this fight and we'll fight till we win. It's always we ramble, that river and I, all along your green valley I'll work till I die. My land I'll defend with my life if it be, 'cause my pastures of plenty must always be free. If you'll gather round me, children, a story I will tell about Pretty Boy Floyd, an outlaw. Oklahoma knew him well. It was in the town of Shawnee, a Saturday afternoon. His wife beside him in his wagon, as into town they rode. There a deputy sheriff approached him in a manner rather rude. Vulgar words of anger, and his wife she overheard. Pretty boy grabbed a log chain, and the deputy grabbed his gun. In the fight that followed, he laid that deputy down. Then he took to the trees and timber to live a life of shame. Every crime in Oklahoma was added to his name. But a many a starving farmer the same old story told, how the outlaw paid their mortgage and saved their little homes. Others tell you about a stranger that come to beg a meal. Underneath his napkin left a $1,000 bill. It was in Oklahoma City. It was on a Christmas day. was a whole carload of groceries come with a note to say, well, you say that I'm an outlaw, you say that I'm a thief. Here's a Christmas dinner for the families on relief. Yes, it's through this world I've wandered. I've seen lots of funny men. Some will rob you with a six gun and some with a fountain pen. And as through your life you travel, yes, as through your life you roam, you won't never see an outlaw drive a family from their home.
We had Pastures of Plenty there by Woody Guthrie, singing about the life of migrant farm workers in the 1930s. And the last song was Pretty Boy Floyd, an outlaw ballad, and with the infamous line, the beautiful line, some will rob you with a six gun, some with a fountain pen. Woody Guthrie eventually ended up in New York playing on a radio program called Back Where I Come From. Got a spot on the show for his buddy, Hughie Ledbetter. And Ledbetter's apartment was a gathering place for left-wing musicians. And he met Pete Seeger in 1940 and ended up with a disease called Hutchinson's disease, and which gradually tightened the muscles in his hand. Guthrie was largely alone except for family because the progression of Huntington's, it was difficult to be around. Common symptoms include uncharacteristic aggression, emotional volatility, and social disinhibition. So Guthrie died of Huntington's disease. Fathered Arlo Guthrie. He was married three times. And we pay tribute to him today. He sort of was the founder of the modern folk movement, but also the movement of playing music of social significance. He was, in the words of one guy, not a political writer, but a writer who lived in political times. Not sure what that means. It's July, so we celebrate the great general strike in San Francisco. I mean, when I say great, I mean it was all-encompassing. The city was shut down for several days because during a labor parade, during a labor demonstration, workers trying to block the shipping companies from bringing scabs in to do their work, two workers were shot. And the next day, Black Friday, the labor movement showed its solidarity. Walked down Market Street, thousands, tens of thousands strong. The great San Francisco strike, from wharf rats to lords of the docks. ¶¶
by step, the longest march can be won. Many stones can form an arch, singly none. And by union, what we will can be accomplished still. Drops of water turn a mill, singly none.
My mother, my Irish Catholic mother, she was always writing home to Dublin. And she had a large hand, so the address took up most of the envelope. Well, she sent me off to the post office. I was about 7. And I always had to buy penny stamps. So I had to stick stamps all over the front of the envelope, turn it over, stick them all over the back to make up the postage. One day I went home, I said, "Mama, why can't I buy shilling stamps?" And she said, "Never. Because the shilling stamp has a picture of the King of England on it, and no son of mine is going to lick the other side."
Put the gas mask on. Put the gas mask on. Put the gas mask on. You ain't got too long.
Then the police started pushing us back to the intersection of Mission and Stewart Streets, just off the waterfront, when the police car arrived and shots were fired. Two men lay dead. Scrap iron, crude oil bound for Japan, we refused to load it. Didn't like the way they were bombing those cities in China, and we figured it just might come back at us one day. Same way as we refused to load some German ships because of Hitler, and some Italian ships when Mussolini invaded Ethiopia. An injury to one is an injury to all. And I'll tell you something else. Interfere in the foreign policy of our country? Sure as hell. That's our job. That's our right, that's our privilege, that's our duty. Foreign policy is too damned important to be left to the striped pants set in Washington, D.C. I said then that if all the jobs on the dock were to disappear, if they were to dwindle away and all that was left was just two jobs, just two, and I had my way, I'd make damn sure that one of them went to a black worker. And here's the thing. See, I have every right to be prejudiced because I was brought up in a racist country. I was taught that white people are superior. But I learned better, see? My dear judge, if Harry Bridges is deported, he is more than likely to organise the whole British Empire against us. He is a dangerous man and should be kept where we can watch him. Our very good friends of the British domain have more than their fair share of troubles already. Patriotically yours, signed, I see clearly. Anyway, Carole King, she could write a letter herself. Listen to this. All I have to say is that you are a bastard. And the next time you behave like this, I will murder you in cold blood. Well, for that, they threw me back in jail, which I did not like, not one bit. Although while I was there, I did read 12 books, I put on 15 pounds, and I organised the guards into the Teamsters.
USA.
Okay, we had some Woody Guthrie there. We had Pastures of Plenty, and then Pretty Boy Floyd, and then we had from Wharf Rats to Lords of the Docks, sort of a brief story about the life of Harry Bridges and the general strike in San Francisco, July 1934. That and the Teamsters strike in Minneapolis, in Minnesota. Key moments for the labor movement. From Wharf Rats to Lords of the Dock, sort of we need to look back and see where that energy came from. And what it came from was people who were desperate. And those desperate people, it seems, became comfortable. They're not desperate anymore. The labor movement will always come from people who are desperate, from people who are up against it, people who have less to lose. Okay, we don't not want to... And the last one was Billy Bragg. Woody Guthrie's wife gave him a whole bunch of... unfinished songs and lyrics and things that Guthrie was working on. And Billy Bragg recorded an album called Mermaid Avenue. There might be another album as well. Well, this one is called Christ for President. Who's Christ? There have been several. In terms of the worldwide movement for justice, July 14th is a holiday, a day of celebration for all working people. Because this is the day that in 1789, where the old order was directly challenged and overthrown by people from below, this was the day that crowds in Paris broke into the Bastille, and it was a symbolic action. There weren't but one or two people in the Bastille. But it was one of the most feared prisons for political prisoners of its time. So again, it was symbolic and sort of the official beginning of the French Revolution. And the song that sort of fueled that revolution is what is now the national anthem of France, La Marseillaise, written by a soldier on his way to fight with the new volunteer army against European powers. And we are privileged to have a version of La Marseillaise sung by Ms. Edith Piaf.
Allons enfants de la patrie, le jour de gloire est arrivé. Contre nous de la tyrannie, l'étendard sanglant élevé, l'étendard sanglant élevé. Entendez-vous dans les campagnes mugir ces féroces soldats? Formez vos bataillons.
was Edith Piaf singing the national anthem of France, the Marseillaise. Just thought before we go on with that, I'd like to tell you what it means. Allons, come on, children of the fatherland, the day of glory has arrived. This is a clarion call to all oppressed peoples. Soldiers, come right to our arms and slit the throats of our sons and our friends. Grab your weapons, citizens, form your battalions. Let us march. Let us march until their impure blood waters our fields. This horde of slaves, traitors, plotting kings, what do they want? For whom did they make these shackles and these irons long prepared? Frenchmen, for us. They dare to consider returning us to the ancient slavery. In other words, about working people. Interesting. An international call to arms. I had occasion this week to read the opinion of a Canadian guy, 5 reasons why we should not prohibit the flying of the Confederate flag. If you wanted to hear some specious reasoning, that would be the place to do it. One of his reasons is that there is no country built on slavery because everything was destroyed in the Civil War and everything had to be built from the bottom. Now, somehow he forgot to consider that slavery, that 400 years, whether or not it produced anything lasting, was the work of slaves. 400 years, this is Bob Marley. Nothing? What? 400 years, nothing. Today in labor history, July 13th, Southern Tenant Farmers Union organized in Tyrunza, Arkansas, briefly an alliance between white and black farmers. Detroit newspaper workers begin 19-month strike against Gannett. The strike would become a lockout, which lasted 4 years more. That was in 1995. The great nationwide strike, railroad strike, aka the Great Upheaval. After railroad workers are hit with their second pay cut in a year, a strike riot spread through 17 states. This week, federal troops were called out to force an end to the strike. And all over the cities, big cities of the U.S., there blossomed these big fortresses, actually built to store arms in case of a general uprising, a labor uprising. The armory, okay, in towns all over the U.S., the National Guard armory. I always wonder, what was that about? Why'd they have that? Well, it was to put down labor actions that turned violent. It was to keep workers from protesting. So typically the people who would be armed would be scabs and goons hired by the companies and the National Guard, yeah. This day in 1934, as we said, the longshoremen strike in San Francisco. July 17th in 1944, the explosion of a Navy ship killing 322 people, including 202 African Americans assigned by the Navy to handle explosives. Boy, I guess they pulled the best duty there, huh? The resulting refusal of 258 African Americans to return to the dangerous work underpinned the trial and conviction of the 50 men in what is called the Port Chicago Mutiny. That was from the Union Communication Services. This day in labor history is about the strike of the United Steelworkers of America, beginning July 15th, 1959. It showed the height of the worker power in American labor history on the shop floor and through the contract. It also demonstrated how government could still bust strikes. Would still bust strikes when it could. This was the end of the peak in American labor history as steelworkers were forced to go back to work for less than what they asked for. The American steel industry did not reverse its long slow decline. Ultimately, workers got some of the things they were asking for. Remember, when you step out of line, when you stand up and make yourself heard and seen, you are not alone. As a matter of fact, if you don't stand up, you'll be counted for sitting down. You gotta serve somebody. Look around you, there's a world to win. Everywhere, in every time, workers have struggled to make their lives better. Okay. Looking here to see what we can play. About 11:40. Here's a nice version of Masters of War by the Burger Folk. War is the biggest lie that's told to us. In war, we go out and kill one another, people who are more alike than not. Here we go. Masters of War there by the Burg Folk. You're listening to Mutiny Radio, 2781 21st Street, corner of Florida. We broadcast live here, and our work is also available online in the archives, click on the archives and the name of the show you'd like to listen to, Labor and Love. And it's all right there, a couple of clicks away, and you're listening to Mutiny Radio, where what we publish and what we do is live. It's always live. It might be a lot of other things. And by live, I mean it's happening. This is the B, and it's about time to sign off. Wanted to play a little bit of Lenny Bruce, so let's do that. And then we'll jump over to the Internacional. Let's see here.
Now to the headquarters of Religions Incorporated. And seated around the desk on Madison Avenue sit the religious leaders of our country. Oral Roberts, Oral Jaggers, Billy Graham, Paramahansa Yogananda, Herb Jeffries, Danny Thomas, Rabbi Wise, Eddie Cantor, Pat Boone, Jane Russell, Joy Bryant, and the other people who feel insecure in the industry. The Dodge Plymouth dealers have just had their annual raffles, and they've just given away a 1958 Catholic church. As we listen closely, we hear H.A. Allen addressing the tight little group on Madison Avenue, with O.L. Jaggers to his right and Hillsborough to his left.
Well, gentlemen, I see a lot of boys here that I haven't seen in many years. And I told Rabbi Wise this afternoon, Rabbi, who would have thought back in 31 we were hustling watches in? Who would have thought that in 31 this scam would have snowballed like it has? Look, gentlemen, there it is. There's the graph. There's the business report. I guess that tells the story. For the first time in 12 years, Catholicism is up 15 points. Judaism is up 9. The big P, the Pentecostal, is starting to move. We got a lot of wonderful plans. But naturally, gentlemen, doing great does not mean slipping into a state of lethargy, gentlemen. No, we had a tie and a seal of Oldsmobile, as you know. Now, suppose there's a problem. That's sort of a moot point. I don't expect any of you boys to get out there on the pulpit.
Well, that's about all we've got there for Lenny Bruce. We can maybe play the rest of that one next time. His idea of organized religion organized to make money, definitely resonates. This is the B, and the show is Labor and Love. On Labor and Love, we tell you how it is. If one person worked for a dollar they didn't get, that means someone else got a dollar they didn't work for. That's how capitalism works. If you don't have a seat at the negotiating table, you're probably on the menu. And never let anyone into your heart who is not a friend of labor. This is the B signing off. To all my friends and family out there, hope to see you soon. Goodbye and good work.
Welcome to Saturday night. It's 8 o'clock. It's time for Hired Killers. Do you understand what that means? Do you know who Ben Lupinetti is? Yes, you do. You're totally involved in it. I know you are. He's an amazing comedian. He's put together an incredible show for you guys tonight. It is the Hired Killers show. Newtony Radio.
Thank you all for being here tonight. Welcome to the Hired Killers Comedy Showcase. Give yourselves a big round of applause for supporting some local comedy tonight. Thank you so much. My name is Ben Lupinetti. I'll be your host for the evening. And tonight, I'm not just celebrating great local comedy. I'm celebrating my birthday, which is tomorrow. Yeah. I'm going to be 27. And if my plan to follow in my hero's footsteps go according to plan, this is the year that I achieve my greatest success. I'm the most talented, the most successful, and rich, and famous, and beloved, and then I die. Jimi Hendrix style, fuck yeah. Wrote some great music. I'm gonna write some great comedy.
Yeah.
Trying to be a little responsible though, I have a girlfriend now.
Woo!
Yeah. So you're welcome, all other women. Stop bothering you now. It's good. I am relieved by that because I really don't know how to talk to women under any circumstances. I was working for a woman the other day, and she had her new baby with her, and she went to nurse him like halfway through the day, and she in the middle of nursing him, she's like, "Oh, you probably want lunch too, don't you?" I said, "Thank you, but should probably make sure he gets enough first, right?" Yeah, she didn't think it was that funny. I don't know. I honestly, that happened. I said that just because I knew I had a show coming up, and I wanted to give you guys something good. Nice mental image. I used to try online dating. I don't know if you guys have ever done that before.
Yeah.
Used to do a lot of online dating on a pretty popular website I'm sure you guys are familiar with, LinkedIn.com. I don't know if you've ever... Add me to your network, my ass. You want some action. I never want my action. Really. No, but it's good. I don't know, my girlfriend just loves that I'm a hilarious, handsome genius, and I love her low standards for those adjectives. Works out well. I don't get it, honestly. Like, she genuinely thinks that I'm sexy, you know? Which, I don't know what her standards are, because I'm not, like, a bad-looking guy, but except unless you count, like, my torso, which looks like a melted action figure, basically. It's like little Jason stuck me in the microwave for a few minutes, and Lion-O's pecs have become Chitara's tits. It's not a good look. My girlfriend's awesome. She loves to pay for stuff for me. She buys me stuff all the time, which I thought was awesome until she called in my tab, which, as it turned out, amounted to me going to work 3 hours late to snuggle with her. I tried to tell her, you realize this basically amounts to prostitution, right? She just put the money on the dresser. She's like, "You shut your mouth. Tonight, your name is Steven." No, it's fine. We got a good thing going. Of course, the best part about dating somebody new is that you get to talk shit about the people you used to be dating, right? Am I right? You know how some guys, they can't seem to, like, commit? Bad commitment problem. My girlfriend was telling me about an ex of hers who he couldn't ever seem to commit to either of the two cults he belonged to. For real, guy was in two cults at the same time, and I got so excited when she told me that. I'm like, I have to do basically nothing to be better than that guy. I have a margin of error of three cults. Basically, if I went to the orientation meeting for one cult and then joined another, I'd still be better than him. Still ahead. Ah, the bar's never been so low. I love it. I don't even understand the point of that. Like, why bother being in two cults at the same time? It's not like you can mass suicide twice. Even if you could, it wouldn't be kind of awkward when two alien spaceships show up to collect your soul? Kind of like a two dates on the same prom night situation going on. A little bit awkward. My friend Sarah has had so many bad dates and shit boyfriends, I consider her an honorary stand-up comic. She might as well be along here with us. She should really be telling you about all this herself, but she's wasting her life as a child therapist, so. She was telling me, you know how some guys, like, they're messy, they don't think to pick up before they bring a woman over to their house. She was telling me about, she went over this guy's apartment and she went to use his bathroom and he had left, sitting out in plain sight, his fleshlight. I'm sensing no look of recognition on your face, sir, and that's the same look I saw on my dad's face when he listened to this joke, and I'm having already had the experience of explaining to my 62-year-old father what a fleshlight is, I'm just not going to go through that again, so do an internet search after this. You do a Bing search. Give those guys a thrill that you were doing something with them. I'm not sure how I would handle that if I was the guy in that situation, but I'd like to think I would really own it, you know? She confronts me about the fleshlight in my bathroom. I just say, oh, so you met Charlotte. How do you feel about open relationships? This is awesome, you guys being here. I usually don't get to do, like, comedy shows. I'm just at open mics, which, I don't know if you've been, I wouldn't recommend it. Some dark shit you hear at open mics. Just the volumes of psychological damage coming out of people's mouth. It's really funny. It's amazing. And it makes me insecure sometimes. Like, maybe I don't have the level of psychological trauma necessary to make it as a stand-up comic, you know? Like, you take stock. Like, okay, my parents are divorced. I got that going for me. But then again, I had never developed an eating disorder when my parents sent me off to Jesus camp where I lost my virginity to the youth pastor, so I'm a little behind.
Boy or girl?
I can't tell. It's a really good set, though. She was funny. I wonder if psychological trauma as a child really is the key to being a great stand-up comic, then you know who's got to have some awesome material right now is Elian Gonzalez. Guy's amazing, I bet. Hope they lift the embargo so we can hear his one-hour special. Damn it, I was so close. That's what it's called. I decided to try to take a little better care of my health recently. I finally figured out how I'm going to lose some weight. I am just going to, you know how some people like to watch TV while they exercise? I decided that I'm going to get on the treadmill and then put on a really scary horror movie on the TV behind me. Just run out the fear, guys. Just run until Wes Craven leaves me alone. The credits can't get me. Okay. Yeah, this is all mildly amusing. I had a doctor's appointment recently because, you know, like, you neglect it as long as you can, and then you're, like, touching your neck one day, and that lump shouldn't be there, and then you just got to do something about it. It was weird for me because I realized it's been a long time since I had a doctor's appointment that wasn't fictitious. Like, as far as the employers I've had know, I've been to the doctor many, many times in the past few years, and this is just a neglected tenement of a structure going on. I puked up a cigarette butt the other day, which was weird because I remember eating a whole cigarette and I want to know what happened there. Doesn't seem, I don't know. It was really kind of got the better of me because I went to pay for all this and I realized that I had bought insurance the same way I buy a bottle of wine to go to a dinner party, just the cheapest bottom shelf available at the time, and just try to mix it in with all the others and hope for the best. But then it's like I ended up having to drink my own shitty wine. It's like, Charles Shaw, no, it's poison. Yeah, I know it's cheap, but it's clearly the high point of the value we're going for. I've also been trying to get my brother to take better care of himself lately, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to need his organs someday. I tell him all the time, you got to get your life together. I feel like shit. I took some acid the other day just because I was afraid I was getting out of practice. Guys, don't worry. Turns out I'm still great at it. Climbed a tree, didn't punch anyone in the face. You guys ever get high before work? For like 14 months? Me neither. Guys, you ready for a comedy show? You guys ready to see some great local comics? Shit, I'm excited for you. Let's play track two to bring up our first comic of the evening. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy puts on comedy shows in San Francisco, the East Bay, and probably lots of other places. He is a warm, funny man with lots of great material for you. Please give a big round of applause right now for Juan Medina.
I'm waiting for my man.
Give it up for your host, Ben Lupinetti. 27 years old. He's old enough to drink alone now. He can drink alone and no one has to judge him. What's up? Look at you four. You four look like you were on one of those. You four look like you were on one of those like mission mural walks, and you got lost. I'm enjoying this right here. You guys are like, yeah. What's going on? Welcome to the mission. I'm born and raised in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right, which means that I now live in Oakland, and that's how that works, you guys. It's called gentrification. Oakland's pretty sweet, though, you know? Oakland's really sweet, except for, you know, it's got its own set of unique circumstances. For example, my apartment is haunted. It really is. But since it's in Oakland, it's haunted by the ghost of a sassy black woman. It's a little bit different than your traditional white lady ghost, you guys. All right, the other night I got up to use the restroom, and as I was walking down the hall, the ghost let her presence be known. Okay, and this is what she sounded like. So imagine that I'm walking down the hall. This is what I heard from behind me, okay? It sounded like this. Boo. Boo. Motherfucker, I said boo. Turn your simple ass around. I turned around, and there before me was the beautiful and voluptuous specter of an African-American woman. She had her hand on her hip. As sassy as she wanted to be. She looked me square in the eye and said, oh, what, boy? You ain't scared of me? And I said, respectfully, no. And she said, well, good, because ain't no one trying to scare your goofy ass anyway. And then she disappeared into an old issue of Vibe magazine. You guys know what Vibe magazine is? Do you know? You know what how about Jet magazine? Jet Beauty of the Week? You do know what Jet is?
Yeah, Jet magazine.
Tight. Did anyone else go to Pride a few weeks ago? I went to Pride. It was fantastic. I played this game. I don't know if you played this game. It's called Don't Stare at 17-Year-Olds. I lost a lot. There's so many. People are just not wearing a lot of clothes at this thing anymore. I don't know. I guess it was really hot. Here's the thing, though. As nude as people were, I several of my friends, they all came up to me and they're like, you know, Juan, I have never seen so much penis in my life. I must have seen 4-10 different penises. Right? And I was like, dude, I was like, you know, it's funny because I did not see one penis. And I think it's just, I don't get it. I don't, like, it's probably because, like, I don't know if you know how, like a penis works, you know? But it's like when a person's naked or their penis is out, it's not like they're like wearing a top hat and then like a tuxedo top. And then out of nowhere, there's just like a penis there. You have to like actively look for a penis. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not like at eye level. If it is, that's pretty impressive. But I've never seen that before. How you doing, sir?
Doing good, thank you.
I feel like I should tell you that it's $5.
It's $5, huh?
It is.
I probably have $5.
Woo! Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty
tough. I haven't checked yet. They said I dropped something on them.
All right, that's enough interaction for the night. That is enough interaction. Don't give it to me, though. Give it to that guy in the back. Yeah, or put it in the box. Anyway, what else I want to talk to you about? Yeah, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I kind of lost my momentum, but you guys are supportive. But I'll tell you about this. I recently watched the entire Harry Potter movie series. Have you ever watched this? So good. So good. It gets so dark at the end, but it's so good. I told my buddy about this, and he's like, dude, congratulations. Now you got to read all the books. And I'm like, no, I don't. I just watched all the fucking movies. I do not need to read the books. And he's like, but bro, the books, the theater of your mind, your imagination will bring these books to life. Dude, I have a great imagination, but there is no way that my imagination, how much am I getting paid for this show tonight?
We'll talk about it later.
Hey, that's how low I'm getting paid tonight, you guys. So that's okay. I do this for the love. Who cares? But anyway, the point is,